Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm excited that this is the week of Thanksgiving, so hopefully everybody is gearing up to be able to have a lot of that turkey and stuffing and gravy. I'm getting all excited. But before that, before Thursday happens, I just want to say good morning. Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, hosted and brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host, and with me today, our very own leading lady is Linda Amaro, who's the COO of Clarinet Solutions. Good morning, Linda. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Happy Monday.
Getting ready for Thanksgiving. So I love this time of year when we're getting into all the holiday season and all the craziness. How about you?
This is a pretty crazy week, but what comes after is even more crazy. So it begins the holiday shopping.
Totally. And, you know, it cracks me up because right now I'm laughing because it's not about Black Friday anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? It's going to become a Brown Thursday or something before. It's like, what have we done? It's like, just keep it to Black Friday. We don't need to make it earlier.
That's very true.
Crazy. They were talking on the news today that people were camping out at Best Buy. And I know we're dating ourselves on the show, but, you know, for all you listeners out there, you know, I remember that's like a couple of times back in the Midwest that it's like, you know, we would get up early and go out and shop on Fridays, but not at the insaneness that goes on today with people camping out and parking out. So another subject for Women Leading the Way Radio, how not to get involved with Black Friday, right?
Right.
Right. Well, today I'm excited about our topic because I have to kind of lay the stage that I was excited when we came up with this for what you do, because I know you see a lot with organizations, but, you know, kind of our theme today is the virtual organization and, you know, what's the workforce of the future? Because I'll share with you, and this was kind of how we came up with the whole idea, with your background as a SharePoint solutions provider and how you're so ensconced into bigger agencies, corporations, and companies, you know, I'm assuming you see a lot of what companies and the trend is that they are going and shifting away from what I call the eyeball-to-eyeball management method, where you have people come into the company behind the brick-and-mortar building and they do the work. Now, the shift is how many companies are actually, you know, not having anybody come into the office and they're working virtually. I mean, is that correct? Do you see that as a trend?
Actually, yeah, there's been a movement, and there are several things that are actually pushing it. One is just the cost of having employees on site. The second thing is that there, as people are moving on or they're doing more with less, they're looking for resources that are actually nationally or globally. So the virtual workforce is now extending beyond our borders. And in order to do that, you can only have, they're not going to open up offices over into, say, I know many people probably the first thing you think of is outsourcing to India. Well, mm-hmm. A lot of companies are finding that outsourcing isn't necessarily the right answer either, but a virtual workforce where they can have people around the world. So you have, for technology companies with 724-hour support, that makes sense because now you've got workforces that are up during those hours without taxing your own staff in the middle of the night. You'll see people that are actually moving in that direction to reserve their dollars. So instead of paying for office space, they can actually pay for more hands or people to answer the phones, but it's virtual and from home. So you're seeing a lot of trend and things that are forcing it in that direction.
And, you know, I got to say, it's like one of the things I've been challenged with, and I'm just going to say as a small business owner, I'm minute on the scope of where this trend is going. But, you know, as a manager who, you know, managed employees in a large financial institution for years, you know, you get used to how you work with people eyeball to eyeball. They're next door to you. They're in the next department, you know, meetings, that kind of thing. And I've noticed for my small business and what we do with Connected Women of Influence, I've had a real challenge trying to, you know, work with people that are virtual. You know, it's not the same thing as sitting down with somebody kind of eyeball to eyeball and talking over things. And my precious piece is to have pieces of paper where you can actually look at something tangible as opposed to digital. I mean, can you, I'm frustrated with that because I really like to be face-to-face with somebody in managing them. So how, I mean, have you seen that people have been challenged with that a bit of bringing, you know, dealing with that as opposed to what you see as the shift? Because that's been my big bugaboo.
And actually, that's probably one of the number one challenges is how do you manage the staff? So, and ensure that the work is being done to the standards that are required for the company. You know, you can't allow something to go lax. So it does take time to actually set up the program. So there's the measurement criteria, there's how you manage. But here's the thing that I found really interesting. And, you know, we all know the generational differences in the workforce today. And you'll find that the baby boomers, you know, of which I am one, is probably the most challenged with a virtual environment. Because we are accustomed to and we've grown up in, you know, we've matured into our adult ages in a time in work and in business where it all was face-to-face. So for us to switch over now to virtual, which the generations that follow us, the X and the millennials, they're all geared around technology. So our children and, you know, down below have actually grown up in a different world than we did. So you're finding that they're adaptive. In fact, it's almost like the way in which they do work fits very nicely into a virtual organization. And if you consider that the boomers are coming to the end, you know, so if you look at there's 70-plus million baby boomers that are going to be retiring, and although not as soon as what was originally predicted, you know, the circumstances of the time, they're not going to be able to retire in the next 2 years, 5 years. It's going to be 10 years, but even so, they're going to have to adapt to work in a virtual environment or with virtual employees. So it's going to be a shift, and you're going to see a transition taking place. But the younger generations are already geared that way.
And it's funny, though, with that, because I, you know, again, I know you see a lot, and I want to get into some of the things that, you know, SharePoint brings that's a benefit, you know, to companies with the whole online thing and the intranet and the internet and all of that. But, you know, I do have to say it's like it's kind of like daunting for a company with the virtual workforce. I mean, sometimes you have to just kind of let go and let documents leave the building. I mean, how do you deal with that, or what do you recommend? Because I have a real hard time with that. I question what's being done. It's like I question how, you know, much somebody's putting into things. I mean, I guess I'm just a, you know, I'm a baby boomer as well. And I think, man, it's like when you're here, it's like, you know, we can get things done. But when you're not, it's like I don't really have any control. And, you know, what walks out with you as far as documents or information? How does a company control that?
Well, that's part of what the collaboration and the requirement that's there for the tools that are provided. So fortunately, I know most people probably do use Skype, so you can actually see the other person you're communicating to, whereas if you look a couple years back, that didn't exist in a way. You had teleconferencing, right, which really didn't work well, was not effective. Mm-hmm. But now with Skype being on the computers, you can actually see and have conversations and meetings with your members. That's also the reason why a tool like SharePoint, if you don't want to use SharePoint, that's fine, but you need to have a tool or repository where those documents reside that everyone anywhere around the world, any time of day, can have access to. But you can secure them even down on some of them to specific lines. Say you have a spreadsheet you only want visible to certain people in a department, you can actually lock down to that level. So you don't have documents walking out or being sent. You have available information in the instant that people can actually look at the same time. They can share the document. You can see who's doing the updates. You can see who the owner is. You have a workflow and, you know, that it can go through for approval before it's published. There's all kinds of things that are available in a virtual cloud collaborative environment, which is the reason why I got into SharePoint.
Well, and that's where I wanted to kind of like share what SharePoint is, because what I'm hearing you say is, you know, you've heard of, and I might, because I'm a small business, but, you know, so many people now are getting into Dropbox, or it's like they've got Google Docs, you know, for that is, I mean, what is SharePoint? Just so people, and I've heard of it, but I don't really know the, you know, you get really excited and have shared a lot with me, but what is SharePoint? I mean, describe it a little bit.
Well, it is a collaborative tool. When you think SharePoint, in fact, this is probably one of the biggest challenges with it. It's one of those tools that's so flexible that it can get into trouble because it really can do a lot. In fact, it can't do everything, but people want it to do everything. That's number one mistake. So unless you really know SharePoint and its limitations, you won't try to make it do something it isn't geared for. There are other solutions and tools out there that would be better. But for the most part, SharePoint is a really good platform by Microsoft. It interfaces with their technology, with their Word documents, with Excel, and it puts meta tags in so it's searchable, which it, for most people, they'll store their documents in a file share out on their network. And if anybody knows about file share, you can take and make a copy. I download it to my desktop. I'll update it. I forget to put it back out in the library. I send it off to somebody else who then takes and modifies it more. So you lose the tracking of that document and the ownership. And when I worked at a software development company, one of the biggest challenges were our requirements documents, which our developers were coding against and doing their design work. You were never guaranteed that they had the most recent requirements document.
Wow.
So, and that's where a lot of businesses. So what SharePoint does, it gives a single document where you can track the changes. Everybody can access the most current version, so you don't have to guess. And it saves disk space. So instead of having, you know, X number of copies of that document out there that everybody has to see and sign off of. And our development teams were quite large. They could go up to 150 people. You know, so when you have requirements documents, and even though you try to control that, it's almost an impossible task. Well, SharePoint removed all of that. We didn't have to track that anymore. There was an owner. The product owner could own that document, and everybody could see the recent changes made by that product owner for their customer. So we actually improved our client satisfaction. We improved our time it took to take something to market because they weren't having to go back and rework. It improved our quality control so the people who wrote the test plans actually had their most recent or current requirements document to work from. So it saved the company all the way around. It just improved. When you look at the workforce of the future, and I know, Michelle, you say it's small business, but I'll tell you, SharePoint is just as applicable to small business because you have a single place to go for your documents, and it doesn't matter where you are in the world or where you're traveling or who you're with, you have access to your information immediately. You know, the really beauty of it is that the virtual office, you know, the Office 365 that Microsoft has, it is an online system, and it's very reasonable. So when you look at the cost of it, it's like less than $10 a month to have these things. So you get the power of the stuff without having to buy the servers and other things. So they've got solutions available for small business as well.
I got to ask you, though, I'm going to interject, how did you, you know, because you've come from technology, you've been in operations, and you know, you keep telling me about your background, and I'm like, holy moly, you know, as I've gotten to know you, it's like, how did you get into being a specialist in SharePoint? I'm kind of curious about your evolution to this, with Clarinet Solutions. Can you share with our listeners?
Sure. Actually, my background started out in manufacturing and design. I used to do design furniture and manufacturing of it, and then went into the transportation industry, you know, in the airline industry, which was pretty high pressure, and you had to have weights and balances, which is where I got involved in technology. And then from that, I went into software development organization, where I became the vice president of information systems and technology, and since then moved on to being a CIO and now a chief operating officer of a technology company, specifically with SharePoint. But the way my journey went and how I got into SharePoint, as I was doing my VP of technology and information systems work, I actually, what I excelled at was the human factor within technology. There's many technologists out there, and they're all very, very good, but where they fail or have difficulty is being able to translate the use of that technology by a human being, by the end user. And where I had a high degree of success rate, my implementations of my applications, which were very large systems, I worked for a very large organization that had, you know, thousands of workers and users of their technology. And you had to hit it right. If the users don't use what you've created, you've not been successful with it. So the make or break point for implementations was with the user. And as I was doing that, what I discovered was is that the users really needed to have simplified tools, which was where what attracted me to SharePoint was is people can use what they already know, the Word program. Mm-hmm. They could use Excel, which was the adopted standard. They could use Access, you know, or an Access-like, so that the look and the feel reduced the training time down and the adoption rate went up. So it made sense to me. Then as I started to really look at and study the human side of the business, I actually saw to where the workforce of the future was going to move towards a virtual organization, and there were several driving factors at the time. Boomers were going to be retiring, so you had a gap, because between the boomers and the next generation, it's a shortfall of about 30 million people. When you look at that, that's a huge gap, so it forced global workforce and that they would be training people up. And I thought, okay, so that's going to change the whole look and feel of how we actually capture information, share information, use information, and work together in the future. So in looking at tools that were going to actually supply that, I could actually start to see a world where virtual companies or virtual organizations were going to come into play. So at the company that I was at, we actually created a program which was a work-at-home opportunity. And we had to find...
That was like the home office revolution, right? That started years ago, but that, you know, good and bad.
Yeah, good and bad. But the applications that we were having people work on were not ones that you could put onto a desktop and send home. They actually had to be on a server. So that caused me to start looking at, well, what's available out there? Because that's going to be a real challenge. And being able to manage the performance and the workload and making sure that the quality is there. So you have to put things in place. Your review process of the employee changes. Your hiring changes because you need to have people who can work independently, you know, don't need somebody over their shoulder to produce the result. It really changed a lot of dynamics. And as I was looking at it, what came to the top of the list, and I've used Google Docs, I've used some of the other ones, and SharePoint still comes to the forefront because it integrates with the major tools that are out there already. So you have your, like Salesforce.com is a really good virtual application. It surpassed and rose above all of its competitors. So if you look at the top in the industry, they're still all based around Microsoft products. So I thought, well, okay, so they've got they've already got a plan in place. I guess maybe I should take a look at where they're going in their direction, right? That made sense.
They're big for a reason.
Me.
Yeah,
exactly.
Totally.
They're big for a reason. They've spent the money doing it. I don't need to reinvent it. So, you know, I took a look and did do comparisons between, and they're all good. I'm not saying they're not good. It's just that when you look at what is supported and what has the connections and has the most offerings, it's going to be in the Microsoft suite.
And let me ask you this, because I think, you know, I mean, I've heard, you know, rumblings around, you know, the business community where people kind of like give some two cents, oh, SharePoint is the latest and greatest, and other people will kind of look at you with kind of fog in their eyes and say, I don't really know what it is, but I've heard of it, and others are like, yeah, it sounds like it's some big technology thing. So what are some of the things that you see are identifiers for a company that says, hey, these are the things that happen, that says maybe this would be, SharePoint would be a good solution for them? Because it's like I'm looking at, you know, the things you've talked about as far as knowing you, it's like from workflow to project management. I mean, there's so many different things, but how does a company identify these are our issues and then SharePoint might be the solution? I'm kind of curious because, you know, you're speaking some really good stuff, and I'm going, gosh, you know, how can people identify that maybe SharePoint would be a good reason and solution for them?
Well, it's interesting because for people who have enterprise applications for Microsoft, probably already own SharePoint. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. People may not know that they even have it. The second thing is there are those that know they have it but don't know how to implement it. And because it is Microsoft and it looks like Office, they think it's really easy to implement, and it's not. And that's mm-hmm. where they get caught up, or you'll hear, well, I've tried it and it didn't work. It's just that there are things that you really have to be well-versed in. So it's better to bring somebody in that really knows the application, that really knows that platform, and they can tell you whether or not it'll fit your what you want to use it for. So we'd be the first to tell you that there are better applications out there. For example, we've had clients that have wanted to use it for Salesforce, and we recommend Salesforce.com. Look, they're the leader, and you can actually have that data go into your SharePoint implementation to display information for you. So you can extract data from SharePoint and have it present a layer in, you know, on your internet browser. So looking at different applications to get to your question, I mean, it is so flexible. It'll pretty much do whatever you want. So anything that you have that you want to create forms for. For example, I had one client that had 9 different forms as a part of their sales process. It would take their sales rep an hour and a half to 3 hours to have that paperwork done and signed by the client before an order could be placed. Those documents then go in, you know, snail mail or even faxed in, but still had to be distributed amongst different departments, and it would take 2 weeks to bring a new client on board.
Wow.
In using SharePoint, because they're accessing it through the internet, we were able to put a single form, online that they could fill out the information in 5 minutes. It would automatically go through, and you set triggers in the workflow that if it meets certain criteria, it automatically gets approved. If it has special circumstance, it would be reviewed by that person's manager. So it had the workflow already, so it could actually redirect it according to the rules that were set. It would go through then, and immediately at the minute that person hit submit, it would go to the different departments. So every department got their information at the same time. Then we set it up to where that department would have that information, and it automatically would feed into the database. So it no longer had to be rekeyed. And we were able to take what used to take 14 days for a new client to be brought on down into 1 day.
And how does that's a great, you know, kind of like on the sales side, boy, that hits home. But what is, in addition to that, what would a company see as maybe their challenges either in document processing, which sounds like one, or how do they identify the challenges they're having and that equals, hey, we need to contact and consider SharePoint? I mean, besides the sales process, what else are things that a company might look for that says, SharePoint would be our solution. What are they dealing with in trouble or challenges at the company level?
They're dealing with inefficiencies or where there's breakdown in communications or delays in processing of something from one area to another, where something may get lost along the way or it has to sit on someone's desk or it's mail coming in. So they would look for where do they need to gain efficiencies? You know, where could they really take their people? Because, look, we don't hire people to come in and push papers. We hire them to come in and actually fulfill a function, usually making decisions, making product, looking at new directions for the companies. You don't want to waste their time in having to do paperwork. So if you can streamline their activity, and that's part of where SharePoint has a workflow in place. Another area would be where are you not having access to information? So most of them have diverse systems, and those diverse systems do not talk to each other. So where is the disconnect where you need information that's over here? Because SharePoint can actually pull that data in and present it. So now you have at your fingertips, you've got the information rather than having to wait for a report to be run.
And I think this is amazing. So, like, who usually brings you in? I mean, are we talking, you know, the owner of the company, the C-level, like the technology people? I mean, who brings you in typically to serve that say, hey, we have a problem, you know, you're the solution?
Gosh, it's been all over the board, and it depends on the size of the client. We've worked with individual departments. We've worked with CEOs. We've worked with CIOs, the head of finance, the head of HR. HR for applicant tracking, we've done systems for that. The head of project management office, there's really great integration into Microsoft Project. If anybody's ever worked with this before, that's almost like a nightmare to try to do. And if you're a project manager, you don't want anybody else touching your project because the least little thing they touch could really take and alter it forever, and it's hard to recover. You have to go back and rebuild. It's just very scary to allow people to have access. Well, there is a plug-in to SharePoint with that can display information from your project so that other people can see those milestones but never have to touch your project.
Wow.
So
part of it, Linda, where people have to be, you know, have like virtual situations, or do you deal with companies that have all, you know, everybody in-house in one building?
We deal with both. We deal with both. You know, our smallest client has been five users, and they actually run their entire business end-to-end using SharePoint. And it has a workflow and a process that's in the real estate industry. They actually will take pictures of houses and upload it into the database. So we've created a whole workflow and process for them. But they run their entire business all the way up to very, very, very large Fortune 100 organizations. We've had ties into doing a SharePoint implementation for NASA. So that's an internally contained, not a virtual organization, but that one had 95,000 users. So it's extremely flexible, and it just takes having someone to know how to guide you. There's cases where we can go in, we can tell you and give you a plan, and then you can implement on your own. We can do the work for you. But, you know, there's many, many different companies out there that can do that. I just know that I wouldn't do it without having somebody who does know, who can look at it for you. Because, look, nobody wants to really learn or invest the hours that are required, because it takes several years to become really, really good at this. That you don't want to invest your time in that. That's not the core business for you.
Well, and I'm sorry I'm interrupting because I'm going, like, God, this is such a big animal because, you know, again, you've got to get in there and look at a company and see what their needs are and do some assessment, I'm assuming. But before, because we only got a couple minutes left, so I'm curious if somebody has questions about SharePoint or they want to get a hold of you, do you mind sharing your contact information and how they could reach you if they've got questions or they want to learn more about SharePoint?
Sure. No, that'd be fine. My email address is lamaro, at clarinetsolutions.com. So that's K-L-A-R-I-N-E-T, solutions with an S.com.
And your phone number?
My phone number is 619-994-2005.
I could probably have you on the show for, like, more hours to unpack SharePoint. And, you know, I want to say just as a wrap-up, because I know we're going to do this again, because I think that there's more here than what we've just started to uncover with the virtual workforce. But, you know, you as a woman in a technology industry, you know, there's really not as many as there are men. So, you know, from your standpoint and trying to kind of describe, it's like if this, then this. It's like, you know, we could do so many different things that you've said with SharePoint. It's like, what's the biggest challenge you have in marketing yourself to, you know, big companies and agencies and organizations? Is it that they don't understand what SharePoint is? Or I'm kind of curious from your perspective, you know, what do you see as your biggest marketing challenge? Because this is a big nut to crack.
It is a big nut to crack, and it's still the capabilities within SharePoint are so diverse, and like I said, where usually I run into the problem is that people have tried it on their own and failed. So they think it doesn't work. That's the first challenge. The second challenge is, being a woman, I still deal in a man's world to sell this.
Mm-hmm.
And my main role is on business development. It's actually connecting the people together. I have a great technology team. You know, they know their stuff forwards and backwards, but it's getting that initial contact. That's the toughest
thing. But as a woman, do you find that there's challenges dealing in a man's world with most technology folks being men, or is that what you find as a trend as well?
Yeah, but then that's where I grew up in technology.
And you can deal with them, dudes.
Yeah, even worse in the software development industry. You know, if you look back several years back, here we are talking all male dominant. So, you know, yeah, it's been that way. And I'm really of the mindset that I'm paving the way and opening up the doors so other women don't deal with the same things that I've had to deal with.
Very good. Yep. Well, I know we're wrapping up, Karen. I know half hour goes really fast, doesn't it? I'm so sorry. But what would be maybe one or two things that if people are considering, you know, the challenges among the virtual workforce, dealing with, you know, people not coming to the building and, you know, looking at SharePoint, what would be one or two suggestions that you would, you know, kind of like wrap up for us here as far as suggestions or advice? And then we'll have to end it there, unfortunately.
Well, you know, in wrapping up and looking at the key things that are the most important are making sure that you have communications in place to where people can collaborate, using tools and technology that are available and for the most part free, like Skype and some of the others. You really can expand your beyond your walls by having the right tools. Making sure that those employees feel a part of the organization. So there's this not feeling disenfranchised or like they're not part of a bigger picture. For Clarinet, we've got our resources are virtual, and they're across the United States. So, you know, I do know in keeping them motivated and how to work with them and within that environment, that's been one of the biggest challenges, is just making sure they feel a part and that they see themselves as part of the team, not like they're something else over there in the corner. If you have people on site and then you have people off site, you need to make sure that you're inclusive.
And on that note, you and I will talk on that offline for my needs. But I just want to say thank you for being our guest today, for being our leading lady, Linda. Folks, our listeners, I just want to say thank you again. We're actually getting more and more listeners from across the USA. So thanks for listening with us today and being, you know, kind of part of our show. I want to wish everyone listening a very happy Thanksgiving and also a safe Thanksgiving. We will be doing this again next Monday for Women Leading the Way Radio. So, Linda, thank you. And everyone, again, happy Thanksgiving this week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.